This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
A look at Egypt as companies plan their responses to widespread civil unrest.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. In Egypt today, there are fears of new violence with supporters of the ousted Muslim Brotherhood set to ignore a curfew that the government imposed. Banks are closed until Monday in Egypt, and multinational companies with operations in Egypt are laying low. General Motors today closed down its factory in a Cairo suburb that employs 1,400 people. And what about fuel to keep the Egyptian economy running? Majid Jafar is chief executive officer of Crescent Petroleum, a company based in the United Arab Emirates with extensive operations in Egypt. Mr. Jafar, good morning.
Good to be here.
General Motors is shutting down its operations in Egypt for the moment. Is this something that you can do or would want to do?
Our operations haven't actually been affected by the recent events, but obviously we have hundreds of staff in Cairo, and we've, like many oil companies, including Shell and others, advised them to stay home for a couple of days, and we're monitoring the situation.
Will the current situation in Egypt force you now to, at some level, reevaluate your future investment plans for the country?
Well, we're monitoring things. Over the last 5 years, we've invested $1.5 billion, and we're the fifth biggest gas producer there. A big issue since the revolution for many oil and gas companies operating there was receivables, unpaid bills. And the total estimate was in excess of $7 to $8 billion for the companies overall. Ours was in the hundreds of millions. It was felt until recently that the new injection of funds by the Gulf countries had improved the government's fiscal situation and might improve the payables. But obviously recent events are of concern, and it's very sad, the loss of life. We hope for stability and political agreement going forward.
Now, you're talking about the injection of cash into Egypt that followed the ousting of President Morsi.
Yes, the support offered by government. I mean, it was well known that dollar reserves of the Egyptian government had fallen into the single digits since the revolution, and lots of bills were not being paid. But what everybody, of course, wants to see is a sense of tolerance and a political agreement of inclusion that leads to peace and stability going forward. And above all, what needs to take place is an economic revival. The youth unemployment in the country and across the region is really what's driving, in my view, a lot of the instability. And the irony is the consequences of the so-called Arab Spring have actually made the causes even worse. And unless something is really done to increase investment and an economic recovery that leads to job creation, I think we're going to continue to see instability in many of these countries.
The perspective of Majid Jafar, CEO of Crescent Petroleum. He joins us from London today. Mr. Jafar, thank you very much for the time.
Thank you. Great being with you.
Now let's do the numbers. In London, the FT 100 is down just a fraction now. The key stock index in India fell 4.1%, with their currency, the rupee, falling sharply. Stock index futures in the U.S. are up right now after the Dow fell 225 points, 1.5% yesterday. The world economy was not going gangbusters in the spring of this year, so it's of special note when profits rise at one of the key companies that keeps global commerce moving. You've seen the shipping containers painted Maersk, officially A.P. Moller Maersk of Denmark. They posted better-than-expected earnings today. Its full-year forecast is up as well, and Maersk stock in Copenhagen rose 7% today.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Join Me, an instant online meeting app used by millions of people to collaborate and get work done anywhere. More at join.me. And by Allianz, providing retirement solutions that can help to guarantee income for life through its affiliated companies in the U.S. AllianzUSA.com.
The first of the movies exploring the life of Apple co-founder Steve Jobs opens today, simply titled Jobs. That's the one with Ashton Kutcher in the lead. Now, film critics are dissecting his performance with a scalpel. But as Marketplace's Queenie Kim explains, Hollywood is not the only group that'll be closely watching Kutcher's portrayal of the tech icon.
As an actor, Ashton Kutcher's made his mark by playing dreamy but ditzy characters on TV. So playing Steve Jobs could be a breakout role for him in Hollywood. But the movie could also have an impact on his side job as an investor in tech startups. This is Kutcher in a video interview by the tech blog The Verge.
My decision to actually take the role was a tough one in that I have a lot of friends and colleagues that knew Steve.
Kutcher's invested in popular startups like Airbnb, Spotify, Uber, and dozens of others.
If I play this, are the people that I'm friends with that knew him going to be upset? You know, I'm trying to sort of balance two worlds.
So we all know how Hollywood's going to rate Kutcher in Jobs, but what about Silicon Valley?
People in technology care a lot about Steve Jobs.
Ken Goldberg is a robotics professor at UC Berkeley. He says Jobs was crucial in the development of personal computers, mobile phones, and tablets, but he didn't do it alone. He says Kutcher risks alienating people in the Valley who are left out of the story.
It's entirely possible that someone will view that he did not understand the true culture of the Valley.
Andrea Matrushin is a professor at UPenn's Wharton School. She says the story of Steve Jobs is bigger than the man. It's come to symbolize the ethos of Silicon Valley. Jobs wasn't afraid to fail and generally ignored Wall Street and others who stood in his way. Matrushin says if entrepreneurs feel Kutcher, the investor, doesn't capture this ethos.
Silicon Valley entrepreneurs are not going to turn down money just because they saw a movie.
Robert Hendershot teaches entrepreneurship at Santa Clara University. He says the movie could have an upside for Kutcher.
If they look at him and think, wow, he really gets it. He knows Steve Jobs. He's like Steve Jobs. It can't help but make him more attractive.
Because Hendershot says even Silicon Valley isn't immune to the magic of Hollywood. In San Francisco, I'm Queenie Kim for Marketplace.
And in Zurich, Switzerland, news of the grand opening of a drive-through brothel. An official one approved by the voters of Zurich to help the police monitor the sex trade more effectively. Agence France-Presse reports customers check in with an official at a guard post in an industrial zone and then can drive up to one of nine carports, like some sort of bizarro car wash. The facility will be open from 7 p.m. to 5 a.m. sharp, punctual no doubt because it's Switzerland. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
It can be hard to be a journalist. The hours are long, the pay's often lousy. But what if you wrote something and Hollywood came calling?
What was the last movie you produced?
High and Dry.
Who paid for that?
CFDC.
What's your middle name?
Leon?
Shoot him. He's an American spy.
I'm Lizzie O'Leary. Writers take their material to the movies. Next time on Marketplace from APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.